It's Maundy Thursday, which is the day in the church year that we traditionally remember Jesus celebrating his Passover with his disciples. And we celebrate that our Lord Jesus gave us the gift of his body and his blood for our salvation and for the strengthening of our faith. The Lord's Supper is an incredible gift, and we look forward to when we can again gather together and receive it together, but unfortunately that is not now. In North Dakota, most of us are fortunate enough not to be in lockdown, but that is changing. For us, it's probably not legally mandated to stay home, but for our health and for the safety of our neighbors, we have all agreed to be apart for a while. So this Maundy Thursday looks very different than most. This whole entire Holy Week looks very different. And we're all just a little bit perplexed about how we should feel or think about this difference. And there's no denying that stuff looks different right now. A lot of things in our lives have been shut off. And that's kind of a weird thing. It's kind of like when the power in your house goes out, and then suddenly everything is just really quiet. There's no fridge humming in the background, and there's no TV blaring somewhere. There's just silence. Silence so thick that you can touch it. For some of us, many of the things that we do in our normal lives have been shut down. I mean, there's no sports. There's no get-togethers. It's just this kind of perplexing void. And I know, brothers and sisters, I know some of us right now are busier than we've ever been. All of a sudden, the kids are home and they have 12 hours of schoolwork to do every day. And some of us are trying to work from home. And some of us have to live at work. The silence, the void, the boredom are not necessarily what everyone is experiencing. But still, for many of us, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to spend time with Jesus Christ. To spend time in His Word. To spend time learning from Him. I pray for that for all of you, Holy Week 2020 will be one that you fondly remember. Not just because we were prevented from having a giant Easter get-together. That's not a fond memory. But because you were able to take time with Jesus Christ in His Word. And so with that in mind, we will turn to God's Word. Our first text today is our sermon. One of our sermon texts is Exodus 20, 12, 21 through 27. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house or strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but he spared our houses. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, your word tells us that if we believe in you, we have passed through judgment and into life. You tell us that you have delivered us from the domain of darkness and into life eternal. And you tell us that eternal life is to know your Father and to know you. So I ask, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit into the dull ears of everyone that hears this message, so that they could hear your words and know you and have the eternal life that you desire for them. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the real question is, do we trust this book? Moreover, do we believe that it has any practical application in our life? Is it worth consulting at times like this? These last few weeks, as you and your family have attempted to figure out how we were going to react to this sudden upending of daily life, how often have you paused and said, I wonder what the Bible has to say about all this? The Word of God is the rock that we can stand on, even when our world is being turned upside down. And you know what? I think a lot of us know that intellectually, and yet I think when we actually get into our world being turned upside down, our default reaction is usually to trust ourselves and our own ideas and our own efforts more than God's Word. Why do we do that? Why do we build houses on sandy ground instead of on the rock of our salvation? Why do we ignore the Bible? I'm sure there's many reasons, but I can think of two. First of all, we've never been slaves. I've never been forced by a Pharaoh to have to go and make bricks for whatever it was that he was building. I've never seen a river turn to blood. And I've never seen a walking staff turn into a snake and then back into a walking staff again. Some of the stories in the Bible, I will readily admit, are kind of hard to relate to. And sometimes they are so hard to relate to that I wonder if I can even understand them correctly. But even that isn't as big a deal as the second reason we don't turn to the Bible. If we aren't familiar enough with the Bible, then we will also doubt that the Bible is even relevant in our everyday lives. It seems silly enough that I don't understand what's so special about God rescuing some slaves from that mean old Pharaoh. But on top of that, sometimes we don't understand what that has to do with the price of tea in China. And so we don't turn to the Bible because not only do we fear that we don't get the Bible, we fear that the Bible doesn't get us. But friends, that's why this whole coronavirus thing, whatever it is, kind of excites me. Because this is a weird time. This is a weird moment. But maybe, just maybe, in the midst of this weird moment, it's going to help make some of the Bible's oldest stories more relatable to us. As Holy Weeks go, this is going to be one of the weirdest ever. In fact, things have been weird for a little bit now. I heard one person say, this is the lentiest Lent I ever lented, because we all ended up giving up way more than we originally anticipated. This Lent has been different. I ended up giving up ping pong. I haven't played ping pong with Seth in going on 3 weeks. I'm sure I'll get back to routinely beating him soon. It's been weird, and Easter will be weird too. But brothers and sisters, this weirdness is a chance for us to see and experience firsthand how relevant the Bible is in our everyday lives And what we're going through right now is giving us a way to relate to the Bible that we previously never had. After these last couple weeks, with everyone spending so much time in their own homes, I will never look at the Passover story the same again. Granted, there are some very different things between Passover and whatever it is we're going on with right now, the physical distancing, whatever you want to call it. I mean, for us, there's no automatic guarantee of death with COVID. On the night of the Passover, it was really straightforward. If you wanted to survive, you stayed in your house. And certainly our situation, praise the Lord, is much less severe than that. But on the flip side, the Passover was a full lockdown, it was only 12 hours or so. We've been doing this social distancing thing way longer than that now. But again, even though social distancing's been going on for a few weeks, we can at least go out our front door without fear of death. But even if we don't have that same type of fear of death, maybe not as extreme than that maybe the Israelites had to deal with, but I do think that this whole COVID thing has made everyone just a little bit more aware of death in general. Because sometimes we'll go a long time in our life without thinking about death all that much. But right now, if we pay any attention to the news at all, we're bombarded with statistics on mortality and whatever else. But as different as Passover is from this COVID thing, there are some similarities too. The night of the Passover, every Israelite father went outside with a hyssop branch and some blood, and he painted the door frame, and he came back in the house, and he locked the door, probably added locks to the door, and then he explained to his whole family, okay, now, no one can go outside until tomorrow. And if I've learned anything from COVID, it's that immediately half of the children in Israel sprinted towards that door to try to open it. Because as soon as you tell someone we have to stay in, boom, we all bolt for the door. I don't know why we do that. But we can kind of all relate to that kid, can't we? And I think we can all relate to that father a little bit too, can't we? We can imagine the terror that he felt watching his kid sprint for that door. Sure, we don't feel the same terror when our loved ones open the front door. We can go out our front doors. But we can certainly imagine the terror of watching our loved one go in the side door. Go in the side door at Sakakawea Medical Center. The door that all the respiratory care patients go through. We don't want to see anyone we care about go through those doors. That very idea terrifies us so much so, I think most of us would just avoid thinking about it. We would prefer to not think about it entirely. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, we're all thinking about it. I mean, right now, if you meet someone who just broke their finger, you could offer to take them in to the doctor and they'd be like, nah, you know what, I got 9 more, I'll just cut this one off. Which is really a silly reaction, but that's where we're all at right now. Because nobody wants to go to the doctor right now. Why is that? It's for the same reason the Passover would have been such an anxious time for the Israelites. We're not scared to death, but we are scared of death. Death troubles us. It just does. It troubles us much less when we become Christians because we begin to believe and understand why we don't have to be afraid of death. But death still troubles us. It was troubling for the people who went through the first Passover. It's troubling for all of us going through this COVID thing. And death was even troubling for Jesus of Nazareth. John 12:27 records Jesus talking about his own death, and he literally said, "Now my soul is troubled." Because death is our enemy. So even being forced to ponder it is troubling. It's so typical of people that are forced to deal with the reality of death. They end up falling into one of two problems. For some of us, thinking about death just makes us anxious. In fact, it leads us into anxiety that cripples us. And other people are more like Pharaoh. They just ignore thinking about it entirely. They don't take it seriously. As if we could ignore something and that will make it go away. So we laugh in the face of death. And we make fun of everyone else who we say is overreacting. But brothers and sisters, if you get anything out of this Passover story, listen to this. You don't need to fall into either of those two camps. You don't need to be paralyzed by anxiety of death. Nor do you have to delude yourself into thinking you are somehow bigger than death. Be neither anxious nor prideful, nor proud or boastful in the face of death. Don't do either of those things because both of them are focused on your own strength. The anxious person looks at death and realizes, I can't overcome that. And so they are rightly scared. And the proud and arrogant person looks at death and does not realize that they can't overcome it by their own strength. They don't worry that God is warning them, just like he warned Pharaoh. And so they trust in their own strength all the more. The person of faith covers their house in the blood of the Lamb and knows for certain that the destroyer will pass over them because we trust in the God who is way, way bigger than death. And he has given us his word, so we can know that with certainty. Now, we don't have to physically cover our house with blood anymore. We're going to talk about why that is in a couple seconds. But in fact, I don't even think they were doing that anymore in Jesus' day. But they did continue to celebrate the Passover. Every year they would celebrate it because, first of all, God's word tells them to. But secondly, so that everyone in Israel would remember, God spared us. This big, gigantic, scary, death-dealing destroyer rolled through our town and God spared us. Everyone of faith was spared. So we celebrate every year because we have a God who delivers us from evil and leads us to the promised land. So that's why Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover on that Maundy Thursday so long ago. They were celebrating together the fact that we have a God who takes care of us, who is loving and is powerful, and who is active in our world and in our lives, in our everyday lives. And that God delivers us from evil. And he leads us to the promised land. We have a God who can take our troubles. We can take our troubles to him. And he is way more powerful than us. So he can actually do stuff about our troubles. Which is why in the upper room on that Maundy, Thursday, Jesus could say to his disciples, well, this, we read from John 14, verses 1 through 7. John 14, verses 1 through 7. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him. And you have seen him. Brothers and sisters, it's not coincidental that in the middle of their Passover celebration, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. He said that because you don't have to be troubled. If you believe in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ, you don't have to be troubled. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is our Passover Lamb, just as 1 Corinthians 5:7 says. We don't have to cover our houses with sheep's blood anymore because that was just a type pointing forward to the Lamb that was to come. And Jesus is that Lamb. So we don't have to live with a goat in our house for 14 days like the ancient Israelites did. The only thing we need to do is believe in Christ. Trust in Jesus. And follow him. And when we do that, there is no need to be troubled. Jesus says in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but passes from death to life. When we believe in Jesus, we are covered by his righteous blood. Which is why Jesus can say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. After the first Passover, it was the presence of the Lord in pillars of flame and clouds that led the Israelites through the wilderness into the promised land. And now, Jesus is sitting in Jerusalem and says to them, if you know me, you know the Father also. If you see Jesus, you see the Father. Jesus is the presence of the Lord God in our lives. That's why he is the way. That's why we follow him through our own wilderness. Knowing Jesus is the way to our eternal, perfect promised land. Jesus is the way to our Father's house, where there are many rooms prepared just for us, and where anyone can bolt for the door, because there's no destroyer, because there's no death, because there's no sickness. There's no global pandemic, so there's no loneliness. There's no troubled hearts, because there's no fear of death. Because Jesus is our eternal Passover lamb, he is also the way to our eternal promised land. When we know him, we know our Father God. When we believe in Jesus and his word, then we know for certain that the destroyer will pass over us. And when we follow him, when we follow Christ, we know that we are on our way to our Father's house. That, brothers and sisters, is why the Bible is so immensely relevant to our current Passover lockdown COVID thingy. Whatever this is. Because it doesn't matter what we go through or what is thrown at us. Through Jesus Christ, we don't have to be troubled about anything. If we know him, we know the Father. And if we understand the Passover, we understand that our God takes care of those who know him. So that's my closing thought, brothers and sisters. Yes, this is a very weird time. Yes, this Holy Week is going to look a lot different than every other one in your whole life. But really, Passover has always been a good chance to slow down life and spend time learning about the gracious work of our God. And I pray that will be the case for you as well. I'd like to pray that prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone watching this, that this would be a part of a holy week where they are able to take time to know you. And through you, Lord, that they could know your Father as well. I pray that they could take time to listen to you in your word. And most of all, Lord, that they would trust in you and their hearts would not be troubled. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our benediction is the doxology.
Praise God.